Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service.
National Talk Black with Trundy Trev.
It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trundy Trev Murray from Nakurri, coming here live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns and Yindinji Country as BBM Bumper Bip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have you saying Yarn Armstrong, deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country. Welcome Black, National Talk Black. Have you say your mob, Yarn Armstrong. All right, jump straight in it. FNQ locals get their First Nation voice questions answered. We're going to catch up a yarn there with our Dilly brother, Alwyn Lyle, FNQ voice member and representative of the Uluru Dialogue. And got Alwyn on the line. Alwyn, very good morning. How are you, brother?
Yeah, good, Trevor. How are you, mate?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, Lyle. Alwyn.
Yeah, look, my name's Alwyn Lyle. I'm a Googie Yalanji man. I grew up in Mossman, spent most of my life there. My dad's connection is through Cook and Possum people up in the Cape. And, I'm currently working with Megan Davis and Auntie Pat Anderson, and spreading the word about the Uluru Statement here in Far North.
Yeah, too deadly, brother. And let's talk about that space. How important is it for mob to have, as much information as possible regarding voice to parliament, bro?
Yeah, look, I started off up here in the north here just doing the markets all around the place, Mossman, Port Douglas, Yungaburra, Innisfail, Cairns, just to gauge the community's knowledge on the voice and did they want to see us have these town sessions. Overwhelmingly, people at the markets and stuff said, yes, look, good. We really need to have community yarning sessions in all our communities and in these towns, you know, where our people live.
Exactly. Because if you look at it, some of our mob was still sitting on the fence and some of it is because of the lack of information. And with more information we got about the voice and how important it is, or all the information, then an individual can make up their decision, their mind, can't they?
Yeah, that's right. And it's also got to be factual.
True.
At the moment, there's a lot of
China's
fake
whispers.
News being delivered by the opposition, Peter Dutton.
Yep.
And the likes of Jacinta Price and Warren Mundine and all them sort of people.
Mm.
You know, I don't know why they're putting out false news and telling lies to the wider community, because at the end of the day, the voice is only about talking about the issues that affect us Indigenous people.
Sure. It's
not about a third chamber in Parliament. It's not about kicking people out of the country or upping their rates or anything like that.
Yeah, I think that's a fear factor that a lot of Australians have, especially non-Indigenous, about we're going to take back our land and kick you out of your houses and close your businesses down. It's not to that effect, is it?
No, and how ridiculous is an educated man like Peter Dutton talking like that? You know, that's just total garbage, and it should be put where it belongs, in the rubbish.
Yes. So what are we doing in regard to this this process, brother?
Well, look, very shortly, we've already started, we've already completed this month's round of towns and yarning sessions, but we'll be, for the rest of this month, we'll continue to do markets and stuff like that. But we'll also be advertising in the local papers and social media and on all levels of social media platforms. We'll be putting out dates. We'll be coming back to the community from Cooktown to Ingham.
Good. Now, these yarning circles, Alwyn, they're open for everybody, black and white, young and old?
Yes. Yep. And we want to welcome people who are yes voters and people who are no voters, because it's about having an open, transparent dialogue with everybody, you know?
Yes, yes.
We encourage everybody to come along.
Yeah, good, brother, good. And these yarning circles are complimentary, free of charge, no fee?
Yeah, no fees, just, you know, come along. what we would like, though, is some feedback, you know, like we're currently running these meetings between 6 and 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if people think that's too late, should we have it at different times? Look, we have a Facebook page called FNQ Voice at gmail.com.
FNQ Voice at gmail.com, yep.
Yeah, look, if anybody's got any suggestions or they want to find out more about the voice, please go on to this address and send us an email or contact us.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And we can share all the dates when we're around in the community with people.
Yes.
Look for us on Instagram as well.
So fnqvoice.com?
Yep.
fnqvoice.com, fantastic. All right, fantastic. So have you had any yarns at the moment? Have you started it or?
Yeah, we've already done the month of June. We've done Atherton, Cooktown, Mossman, Port Douglas, Caranda, and Innisfail.
Good, good, good. And how was the response? Good turnup?
It was very, really good response.
Yes.
Now we didn't get a lot of we didn't do a lot of publicity, and we didn't get the message out there quite enough leading up to this month. But between now and the first week of July, that's when we'll do it again. From the 1st of July, we'll start off in Cooktown again, and we'll be traveling everywhere.
And use the tools out. Available. Social media, let everybody know it's coming.
Yes, definitely. And it'll be in the Cairns Post. All the dates will be in the Cairns Post, the Tableland Express.
Yes.
All social media platforms.
Yes.
We're getting better at putting the message out there.
Good, good. Yeah, well, it needs to be had. And like I said, all cards on the table in regard to the yarning circles. People can ask all the questions they like, and there lies the education.
Yes, yes. We're planning on road trip across to the Gulf and into Doomadgee. We're also planning to visit every community in Cape York.
Yes.
We've had dialogue with all the mayors of Cape York.
Yep.
We're just in the process of identifying when is it best for us to go into those communities. At the end of the day, we don't want to be barging into people.
Sure.
We want to open, you know, knock on the door and ask permission to come in first.
Sure, exactly, brother. Do it properly. Do it right.
Protocol. Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
So for all those people out there in community up in the Cape, we hear you.
Yes.
We want to get out there and see you.
Yes.
Yeah. And look for us in the month of July. We'll be there.
And I suppose the other conversation is for our mob out there who aren't on the registry. Yeah, registrar. They need to sign up so they can put their vote in. On the electorate roll. That's right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's a big push by the Australian Taxation Commission there. The Electoral Roll Commission, to actually get people
signed up
to vote.
Yep, be able to vote, yes.
Like I said, I tell these people all the time, there's 27 million people in Australia at the moment.
Mm.
17 million people are eligible to vote.
Yeah.
To get this referendum across the floor, we need at least 9 million people to vote yes.
Yeah.
At the last census, we were only counted around 750,000 Indigenous people in Australia.
Mm.
So we're not going to win this referendum on the
black
votes of Aboriginal people. It's going to be won on the wider community supporting and walking with us for a better future for Bummer, you know?
Exactly, brother, exactly. Well, I think it's fantastic what you guys are doing. So to all our listeners out there, fnqvoice.com, check that out and find out when the next yarning circles are happening. And look, come to the table and let's have that talk, brother.
Hey, Trevor, sorry, it's voicefnq@gmail.com.
Come again, brother.
It's voicefnq.
Voicefnq, write this down.
voicefnq@gmail.com.
@gmail.com. Lovely, thank you very much, brother. So there it is. voicefnq@gmail.com. Check it out, go online and find out when the next yarning circles are happening in a place near you. Let's have everybody at the table. Let's have all the questions there. Let's get educated in regard to this important space. But, Alwyn Lyle, thank you, my brother. Too Deadly. Keep doing what you're doing. Please do keep in touch. And we'll yarn soon, cuss.
Cheers. Thanks, Trevor. See you.
Take care,
Catch
bro.
Catch you later.
Bye-bye. Deli Yarn there. That's Alwyn Lyle, FNQ voice member and representative of the Uluru Dialogue. So it's a conversation, a yarning circle for the voice to parliament and the voting that's coming, the election there about having a voice in parliament. But it's open for the conversation to get educated and have the questions asked and the answers at the table. And we have all the information there, so be open-minded. And that's black and white, and that's whether you're voting yes or no. Yeah, come to the table, have that yarn. It's about steering this country into the future. So if you're Australian, have your say. Have your say here, National Tall Black.
If only you could see what this all means.
Let's talk about
Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter. Brother Walker.
If only you could see what you're doing to me.
I stand with you in the room.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah. We hit the streets, begging for the people to see what our life worth, but they don't want to believe. Claiming all lives matter, but you ain't at the rally. I stand on the shoulders of the fan that come before me just the same as you, fan. So what you doing with the fact that you inherited? Disinheritance took the privilege, y'all took the wealth. Took the lives of innocent boys and girls, still denying our experience, made to feel lesser. I work with these kids and they telling me they fed up. I'm working with these white folk who know enough for better. I'm working with the government, another pet, nigga. New day seems nothing changed, we afraid. We glorifying mediocrity up to this day. Let's be real about it, and maybe then we can transform this country, heal the pain from my great-grandmama, from my nana, from my cousins, from my sisters and my mama. For our brothers up in lockup, for these white folk who sick and confused, and for these pleas who sick enough to treat us the way that they do. For these politicians who forgot about what it means to operate from a place of humanity. Love, forget the pride and self-righteousness. This is gonna take a whole lot more than your good intent. Come on, let's go.
If only you could see what this all means.
Live your life to the fullest. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. 1-800-422-416 is the number you need to call. Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yarn Up Strong, your mob, too deadly. Speaking of deadly, Cape York Crusaders kicking goals at state champs. 22 students from across Cape York and the Torres Strait returned home yesterday after competing at the 2023 Australian Football AFL State League Championship on Sunshine Coast. Crusaders team had representatives from 14 communities from Hopewell through to Alama Island in the Torres Strait. And with that, we're going to talk to Crusaders coach Matt Mullan on the line. Matt, a very good morning, Matt. How are you?
Hi, good. Thank you. Yourself?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Talk about kicking goals. 22 students, two deadly, these young brothers. So tell us about your journey down there with the boys and how they went in the state school championship.
Oh, no worries. Thank you for having me on. It's fantastic to get a little bit of coverage for our program. It's been a big week or so. So
yes.
We're just back in the office now, just having a bit of a brief and, just talking about how well it went. So we have we're down on the Sunny Coast last week and had 14 communities represent our Crusader team and, went away down there and we're in the Queensland State School Champs and, did really well. We're fantastic. We had these young boys and girls from the Cape and the Torres Strait that came down and, represented their communities and themselves and their schools and their culture and, they made everyone really, really proud. So,
we're talking students. Are we talking lower grade, junior, or we're talking seniors in regard to the team or how's that work?
No, sorry, it was an under-12s competition,
okay.
So anyone from basically grade 4, 5 and 6 was eligible to come away with us if they were capped underneath that age bracket. We had a young boy from Bloomfield River who was 2013 born, so he was 10 years old, so he'll be able to come through for a couple more years, but most of them were about 12. So, and then after they finish with the under-12s program, they'll roll up into the higher age group programs that are now starting to trickle back since COVID's been wrapped up. So, things are looking good for the young people now.
So tell us about the Crusaders. Where do they stem from? I mean, based here in Cairns, and are the students at the AFL House? Is that right?
Well, yes and no. Our office is in Cairns, and we've got our AFL KPLK House for boys and girls boarding houses in Cairns. So
yes.
If there's young people that are eligible to play for the Crusaders, we can definitely take them from there. But it's not actually a boarding house sort of team. It's more of a, it's selected from the Cape and the islands to come down. So Kieran and I visited 44 communities last year throughout, and yeah, we picked the young people just through school attendance and just being a good member of community, and also footy ability as well. So yeah, that's how I get picked from there.
So location of school. So you travelled to the communities and virtually scouting, looking at their school progress as well as their performance on the football field.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. A big thing with our program is just that our three pillars is pride, respect, and responsibility. So you've got to be coming to school. You've got to be doing the right things. You can be the best footy player and not necessarily get picked for the Crusaders. You've got to be a good person as well. So we're going through and seeing those kids, and school attendance seems to be up when we're coming into schools as well. So that's a good driver for us to get kids into schools and, through our program into our boarding facilities. So, ticks a lot of boxes.
So, Brother Matt, if you look at it, they then become mentors, you could say, these young fellas, because then they go back to school, Scott, about their trip away on a big plane down to Sunshine Coast, representing, and, they did good and they continue to do good. But they make that yarn for the other young brothers and sisters coming through as well. If be good, do good things will happen, sort of thing.
Oh, absolutely. And we echo that message when we're on our trips. Good decisions good choices lead to good outcomes, and bad choices go to bad outcomes. And they know that as well. Like the young people that we pick, they've been coming to school doing the right thing anyway, so they've done that on their own, and we just reinforce that. So when they go back to school, everyone knows, like the younger mob that come through underneath them, that they're doing the right thing and they're getting reward for their effort, and hopefully that trickles down, and that's just the sort of legacy that leaves. So it's nice.
And then you look at ages 10 to 12. I mean, they're about 6 to 4 years away becoming 15, 16-year-olds. And that's when clubs, AFL clubs, scout, look at development squads. Doors could open up in that platform.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, we've got our arm. Pre-COVID, we had under-12s competition, under-14s, under-16s and under-18s as well. But sort of COVID squashed that a little bit. It's starting to come back now, which is great. So there's more pathways, but our under-16 Crusader team that we had pre-COVID had won 9 of the last 10 North Queensland Championships against places like Townsville and Mackay and Rockhampton and Cairns and things like that. So there's obviously just natural talent and ability all through where we live and where we travel through. And, we're very lucky to have these young people come up. So, and they get looked at by the Suns Academy stuff as well, the Gold Coast Suns, because that's in their sort of zone to select kids. So the more they come, the more they do, the more chances they'll get.
Yeah, fantastic. Matt, and with yourself, your journey, tell us about your journey and how you became the coach of Crusaders. Are you a local boy? Are you from Cairns? Or what's your AFL background?
Oh, I'm not from Cairns originally, but I've been up here for about 5 years now. I actually grew up in Victoria. So, footy was a massive part of my life. Yeah. And, I've always played it when I was a junior. And, gave me lots of opportunities and stuff as well, just friend-wise and social-wise. And, I did a lot for me growing up. And then, I moved up to Queensland a while ago, spent a bit of time on the Gold Coast, and I was in Brisbane working for AFL Queensland down there. And then we did a transfer. It was like just supposed to be a 9-week transfer up to Cairns to work for AFL Cape York, just as a development, personal development thing, and come up here for 9 weeks. And they went through the Cook region with a couple of the game development people up here, and we visited Hopevale and Cooktown and Laura Lakeland and through there. And then I came back and I said, how did you like it? And I said, I'd love to go a little bit further up and see a bit more of the Cape and the islands. That'd be unreal. So I stayed for another term. And after that, they said, how'd you like that? I went to Aracoon and Old Marpoon and places like that. And they said, how'd you like that? I said, I love it. And I said, do you want to sign on for another year? And 5 years later,
I'm
AFL Cape York.
You're just going to be for 9 weeks, you might. But see you later, family. And here we are, 5 years later, 6 years later.
Well, it's going to be, it's just a special space. Honestly, footy's a massive part of what we do, and I love footy, and that's what drives me. But it's so much more than footy, what we do here at AFL Cape York. With our boarding space and stuff, everyone's fully invested in the young people through sport and education. And, it's somewhere that I hold close, dear to my heart kind of thing. So.
Yeah, well, love your work, Matt. Fantastic. Congratulations. Big shout-out to those 22 students. And, from little things, big things grow, my brother. So good yarning with you. Keep doing the good work, brother, and we'll keep in touch, eh?
All right, sounds good. Anytime you want to chat, I'll be here.
Too deadly. Thanks, Matt.
All right, thank you. Bye.
See you, bro.
Dele Yande, Matt Mullen, his name is, a Crusaders coach, taking 22 students from across Cape York and the Torres Strait and returning home just yesterday after competing in the 2023 Australian Football State School Championship on the Sunshine Coast. And the Crusaders team had represented from 14 communities from Hopewell through to Lummer Island in the Torres Strait. It looked fantastic and said creates a nice platform. But the kids not only get picked for their football abilities, but in regard to their attendance at school and their attitude. And that's fantastic, isn't it? You know, it's a nice, fantastic, a nice platform for them to build their future upon, not only on the football field, but in life itself. Attitude is everything. Everything is attitude, you mob. Have your say in Yana Strong. Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black.
Pack girls, see him talking about me. Ride around with a smiley on me. Get it a win and got it. Hey. Mama gave me life. The attitude is my daddy. Bless him, I'm going to get it for him.
Get it for him.
I bought it, I'm going to give it to him.
Give it to him.
I was always going to make it. Hey. Never drop the ball, nobody's going to take it.
He wakes up every morning, one thing on his mind. This ain't just a game, it's a way of life. Watching the players on his TV screen, saying I can do that, I want to live that dream. So he stays focused with his goals ahead. Never lose a sight from the words that he said. Full of confidence, no doubt in his head. Still no rest after the blood, tears and sweat. Stays out late at the park after dark. Ball in his hand, in his eyes is a spark. Prepares for the weekend, big game coming up. Grand final fever, don't believe in being runner-up. To know where he's going, gotta know where he's from. The sacrifice he made to train for this game. This story is his, a dreamer with big dreams. Only thing on his mind is that grand victory.
To the ground, I can hear the crowd roar. Drag him to the floor. I can hear that crowd bar. It's what I live for. Just to give the crowd more. It's what I live for. Just to hear that crowd roar. Just to hear that crowd roar.
See, you know where I come from. And I know where I'm going. It ain't a dream that I run from. We on, we on, we on. I get the ball with the fellas. Great finding.
I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome Black, National Talk Black, have your say, yarn up strong your mob. I'm going to jump straight into it. The Queensland Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Foundation, QuadCIF, is proud to have been recognised as the 2023 Philanthropic Foundation of the Year at the annual Queensland Community Foundation Philanthropic Awards lunch. So with that, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Ben Gertz, and he's a board member of QuadCIF. And on the line, Ben, very good morning. How are you? You there, Ben? Ben's not there. Ben, I'll just try. Ben, hello, Ben, you there?
Yeah, Trevor, how are you?
Yeah, good morning, good morning. I start with loan there. How deadly are you, mob? QuadCIF? And before we start, brother, let the mob know who your mob were you from, Ben?
Good morning. My name is Ben Gertz. I'm the descendant of the Gugabardin people of just inland of Townsville and the Ngadjuji people of the Afton Tableland.
Yes.
And the Meriam people of the Eastern Torres Strait.
Beautiful, brother. Beautiful. Thank you. Good footprint. Congratulations. Queensland Aboriginal Torres Strait Foundation, QuadCIF, have been recognised at the 2023 Philanthropic Foundation of the Year at the annual Queensland Community Foundation Philanthropic Awards luncheon. So they say the best exercise is your heart when you're bending down and lifting somebody up. Money's a tool. Philanthropic, giving money out to help organisations, help people in community. You've got to be happy with this award, brother.
No, we are very happy. I think, look, I've only been a member of the board of advice for QuadCIF for about 18 months now, but okay. In the short time I've been on the board, we've been doing some fantastic work and we support a lot of students across the state. And yeah, I think over about 14 years in operation, we've supported about 16,000 Murray kids around the state, and we're currently supporting about 760 between Townsville and the tip of Cape York at the moment. So,
and when you say supporting them, we're supporting them in all facets: sports, school, education, work. Tell us the facets, the platforms you're using.
Yeah, so largely for education. Obviously, Qantas was established to support students through their, particularly for their secondary schooling, for year 11 and 12.
Yes.
But at the same time, you know, sometimes we will support students in other ways, whether it's, you know, for extracurricular activities through things like sport and those sort of things. But the direct scholarships that we provide are, yeah, primarily used to support their schooling.
Okay, and we're talking high school students. Are we talking private, public?
Yeah, both private and public.
Okay,
so,
good, beautiful.
Only aimed at year 11 and 12 students.
Okay.
And, yeah, supporting, making sure that they have, you know, things like laptops to support their education and just, you know, utensils to make sure they get through the school year.
And when you look at the tools that you're supporting with, it helps the student to have the focus for finishing grade 12, you know, senior certificate. That gives them a nice platform, doesn't it?
Yes, it definitely does. I think for me, I think the big part difference from between my time, I finished school just a couple of years before Qantas got established, and I had a part-time job at Coles and had to use that money to get things like, to get, you know, sort of supplies to school and that sort of thing. So it just gives the kids a lot more focus to focus on study and even, you know, a bit more extra time to even pursue, you know, maybe a bit of rugby league or something outside of school
and
all their passions, activities,
Fantastic. And how many board members do you have on board?
So we've got about eight board members currently, I believe, off the top of my head. There's myself, so I'm the only board member north of Rockhampton. We had Brad Jarrow, who was from Brizzy, but he was a teacher in Rockhampton. And we've got Brenton Bowen, old Hope Bowl boy. That's probably, and then Brene Blackman, who used to be the CEO of Gidgee Healing out in Mount Isa.
Yes.
So they're probably the four that have the most. And Jane Ciolan too. She's from up our way. So a lot of board members are connected back up to north and far north Queensland, but we've all kind of moved around the state a bit. Yeah, but I'm based in Townsville. Yeah.
Good. And who's your chairperson there, mate?
Yeah. So I'm Professor Kiefer Dunstan. So she's I've only been our chairperson there for coming up for about probably just close to a year now.
Okay.
And she's the Pro Vice Chancellor of Indigenous Education at Bond University on the Gold Coast.
Fantastic. So how do schools, if not students, reach out to QuadCIF if they're looking for support in a financial arm?
Oh, very easy process. All you have to do is just pretty much contact us at, we've got our website there at www.quadcif.org.au.
Yes.
And then Michael Naylor is our secretariat, so you can contact him for email, for his details there on our website.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking to support more, it's a multifaceted process. So individual students can apply if they wish. So if you're a family looking to, you know, give your kid a bit of extra support heading into year 11 and 12, we encourage you to apply. But also some schools, they'll often help their students apply for scholarships at school as well. So if you're in the education system looking to help support some of your students.
Yes.
Yeah, please look us up.
Ben, most schools have a First Nation aid, you know, in that sense. They'd be well aware of QuadCIF.
Yes, most are. Particularly, you think a lot of the schools up here, pretty much, I'd probably say most of the schools north of probably Rocky, a lot of the you know, whether it's the Indigenous Education Counsellors or First Nations teacher aids or it depends on the title, depending on whether you're public or private. They're all very familiar with QuadCIF. A lot of schools, most of their schools now have had QuadCIF recipients in the 14 years since we've been operational. So I'd be very surprised if there wasn't a school that didn't understand what QuadCIF was.
Yeah, beautiful, deadly. And regarding the award that you recognise as 2023 Philanthropic Foundation of the Year, at the annual luncheon, were you there?
No, unfortunately,
you weren't there.
Over here. Yeah, I'm in.
Should have went for a free feed there, brother.
Yeah, no, well, it looked like a good feed too. Like, yeah, a deadly feed.
Good.
Yeah, and Premier there rocked up too. So
good. So was the chairperson Keitha? But there was Keitha there to receive the award. Who represented?
Yes, she was there.
Oh, good.
And,
okay.
And our secretariat Michael Naylor, who's done a fantastic job, handling the ship at QuadCIF. Yeah, he's one of our three full-time staff members, and, yeah, he does a fantastic job, old Michael, yeah.
Good. And when you look at it, you guys are performing at that level and helping our First Nations students in regard to their education and, if not, their sporting. And you don't do it for any awards or recognition, but it's good to get acknowledged.
No, look, it is. It is very lovely to get acknowledged, and, you know, it's very nice to get the accolade. But, look, at the same time, we know the difference we make in people's lives. And,
exactly.
And, you know, we know the benefit that we provided to, you know, even some of our past recipients. You know, a lot of friends of mine are past Quartz recipients, and
yeah.
The difference it's made on their life in terms of pursuing, you know, education at uni and even, you know, professional career after school, like, it has made a massive difference in lives, and that's what we're here to do. So it's not, we're not in it for awards or accolades.
No, that's
praise,
right, exactly.
Yeah.
It's good to get recognised. And congratulations, my brother, to you and the board of directors of Quatsif. And look, fantastic. Keep doing what you're doing. Whatever you're doing, it's working, and you're getting recognised for it. And congratulations once again, Ben, and we'll talk soon, brother.
No, cheers, brother. Thanks for that, eh?
Take care, Ben. Bye-bye.
See you.
A deadly young there, Ben Gertz, his name, board member of Quatsif and Quatsif Queensland Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Foundation. And they were lucky enough to be recognised and receive the 2023 Philanthropic Foundation of the Year Award at the annual Queensland Community Foundation Philanthropic Awards Lunch. So fantastic. Congratulations, helping our students out there and to all your deadly grade 11, grade 12s out there. There is support. Quatsif is one of the organisations that can support you in regard to your focus and finishing grade 12. And education is the key. And knowledge is power, but it's potential power. You still need to act on it. So do that. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong. Act on giving me a call here at National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Yarn Up with the Bully on here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on New Dingee Country. BBM Bummerbrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation. Thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Big shout-out, NERS team, Too Deadly. Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on New Dingee Country, BBM Bummerbrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calling from that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, first visit by First Nation Ambassador to Torres Straits, the Torres Straits Regional Authority, TSRA, did welcome Australia's inaugural Ambassador for First Nations People, Justin Muhammad, on his first official visit to the region, and that was back last week, 1st and 3rd of June. With that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Chairperson TSRA, Napa Pedro Stephen, AM, on the line. Uncle Napa, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Trevor. Debbie Dim. Kapu Batanga for all your listeners right across, our nation.
Lovely, beautiful. Thank you very much for coming to the program. And before we start, Uncle Napa, who your mob were you from, please?
I'm Ugar Ramli from Ugar and Mer descendants from Murray Island.
Yes.
My father. And my mother is from Moore Island, from the Western Group connection to Mobiad.
Beautiful, lovely, beautiful footprint. Thank you very much. So listen, the inaugural visit of the Ambassador for First Nation People, Justin Muhammad, did visit the Torres Straits. There would have been some good conversations going on. So please inform us, lighten us, please.
Yep. Okay, thank you very much. It is an important visit for us. Especially, you know, in the Torres Strait, we look at the winds and actually, and what the winds bring us.
Yes.
And the Sagar wind, which is the southeast wind, at the winds of Zenat Festival, was the time of visit. And it was actually Reconciliation Week. And it was important to have an ambassador,
yes,
an Indigenous ambassador for us that we would actually be in touch with, to actually know that our voice has a direct link.
So Justin Muhammad is of First Nation?
Yeah, that's
good.
Right.
Good, yeah. good, yes.
And I think it's the important part of that.
Of course.
Is that in the past, non-Indigenous people has interpreted our aspiration. Now we have our own people that actually...
Who subbed that vision, Uncle? Who subbed that vision? Black on black.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that it's all about trust from the grassroots up.
Of course.
And I think that, you know, those sort of aspiration has been warped in many times over the many generations come to right now. And I think it's about time for me as an individual and as a leader that it confirms that week of the visit, reconciliation, the referendum, the flag day, it all actually encompasses that it goes back to not only just our voice, but our identity as First Nation people of this country.
Yes, so true, so true. And so how long was it? Was for a couple of days Justin Muhammad was there?
Well, that's right. He came up for a couple of days, but we made him give a commitment to come back because Thursday Island is not Torres Strait. So it's important for him to go up to the Outer Islands.
Outer Islands, of
course. Especially the Northern Islands.
See the big picture, exactly.
Well, that's right, because Torres Strait is unique in itself, and it's the only part in the world that has a treaty between between Papua New Guinea and Australia that allows barter and trade, what we identify as free movement, since 1985.
Well, there you go. And the inaugural ambassador for First Nation people, Justin Muhammad, should be able to witness that and see that happening and then understand the bigger picture.
Well, that's correct. Because when you talk about barter and trade, you talk about economic aspiration and initiatives. And I think that it's really important as a First Nation person that you can translate that the trade that our forefathers did to actually what is actually happening now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really important for survival and for access for people in remote part of our country.
And also what's happening at the moment, the space we're living in at the moment, Uncle Napa, is the voice to Parliament. Was that mentioned in regarding conversations?
Yes, we mentioned that.
Good.
I think it's important that in the Torres Strait have always supported a type of voice. TSRA is a outcome of the voice that was expressed by past leaders to where we are. So TSRA as a legislative body within the Commonwealth that actually has a statutory status to actually carry the voice of our people. So it's TSRA, as we see, as a body that's going to be an example for a wider representative body in our nation to actually have a louder, a voice that covers all people, First Nation people across the length and breadth of our unique nation.
To our deadly listeners, they just tuned in. Trinity Trevi, Murray from Macquarie, having a deadly yarn with Chairperson TSRA, Uncle Napa Pedro Stephen AM, and talking about the inaugural ambassador for First Nation people, Justin Muhammad, who made the first official visit to the Torres Straits. And we're elaborating on that conversation. The other thing that comes to mind, Uncle Napa, is the global climate and the sea walls and the sinking of the Torres Straits. Was that a conversation as well?
Yes, and I think that Justin was briefed before he came up.
Okay.
Because, the climate change, it's an ongoing issue.
It is.
For us living in an island nation. And it's not the first time that we've sort of voiced that concern.
Mm.
But I think that it's important for him to see firsthand the rising sea level that is affecting our community.
Exactly.
You know, it's just like you can't turn a blind eye.
No, you can't.
And it's really important that his visit echoes very strongly in Parliament and in the government area of actually the need for action, not just building seawalls.
No, exactly.
But actually really look at different options for our people.
Yeah, and for the sake of this country, if not the planet, global climate is real.
That's right.
Mm.
Yeah, and I think that it's while you have the conversation, you know, nationally or internationally, it needs to translate on what it means to people living down at the grassroots level of our community and our islands.
Yeah. So you have welcomed him back and on a regular basis. If he is the inaugural ambassador for First Nation people, well, he needs to be back in this space, in this area, continuously, yes?
Yes, yes. Because the Torres Strait Treaty allows a platform of continued conversation since 1985 on the treaty that we actually, you know, there is a bipartisan recognition where you have the Foreign Affairs Minister for Papua New Guinea and the Foreign Affairs Minister for Australia leads delegation to continue to have debates on issues that are concerning the inhabitants of Western Province of Papua New Guinea and for Torres Strait. So I think it's really important that Justin then actually, you know, translate the concern right up to the Minister for Foreign Affairs, Penny Wong, and also, you know, right up to the Prime Minister. That is actually just assisting what we do anyway as leaders, that we have an access so the right hand actually and the left hand sings from the same chorus book.
Exactly, exactly. Look, a beautiful conversation. Thank you very much for yarning, Uncle Napau. Great to see the Ambassador for First Nation People, Justin Muhammad, an inaugural ambassador, make the visit to the Torres Straits back last week, 1st and 3rd of June, and to come back again. And thank you for informing us about the visit and giving us the information and the conversations that, that were had. But thank you very much, Uncle Napau. You up top, or were you?
Well, I'm in Brisbane at the moment, and I'll head back home on Wednesday. But I'll wait so well for the conversation, and we certainly will keep your listeners abreast of the outcomes and the ongoing, you know, matters that we will be discussing with Justin, and certainly the issues of the Torres Strait at hand, because many of our people actually live on the mainland.
Of course. Me play included. Uncle, thank you so very much. Look, God bless you. Take care, and we'll yarn soon. Big SO. Yawo.
Yep, God bless.
Deadly yarn. Beautiful yarn there. That's Uncle Napau Pedro Stephen, AM, and he's the chairperson of TSRA, and we're having a conversation about the inaugural ambassador for First Nation people, Justin Muhammad, who made his first official visit to the Torres Straits, and that's last week, 1st and 3rd of June, and, of course, there'll be continuous visits to the Torres Straits by the inaugural ambassador for First Nation people, Justin Muhammad. Have your say, yarn up strong, into the conversation here. National Talk Black, deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Yarn up with the bully one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trevor Murray from the Curry, and coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Too deadly. Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. And deadly to be delivering the deadly yarn with you, Mob. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Dion Hasty, Director of NASDA, Head of Dance, and talk about NASDA and Courage Works Present Ati, which means journey, and Brother Dion will go into that, a dance reckoning of truth, place, and belonging. And on the line we have Dion Hasty. Dion, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm great, thank you.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. My brother, before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you from.
I'm from Mareeba.
Up the road.
Yeah, just up the road. I'm a double dope. I'm a Murray, you know. I'm from right there where you mob all are.
Exactly.
So, but you know, I've travelled my dance and it's taken me down south.
Yes.
To NASDA where I've trained and I pretty much spent most of my working life down south here, Sydney, for a long time I lived in Adelaide for many years.
Beautiful.
So, but I've come back to NASDA now and I am the head of dance here at the college.
Yes.
Since 2019,
Fantastic. And look, you use NASDA, fantastic organisation, Dance College, educating and training up our young ones. Look, it's a platform where dance becomes a medium, tells stories and what have you. So let's talk about Ati and the NASDA and Carriage Works presenting Ati. What's the meaning of Ati? Tell a story, a dance reckoning of truth, place and belonging. Please, Dion.
So Ati means journey in the Meri-Meri language of Torres Straits. The name was sourced through our cultural tutor, Uncle Dijon Nui.
Yes, big share that, Dijon, yes.
Yeah. And so it relates to our connection to Moa Island and the Torres Straits and our struggle to actually get there during the COVID period.
Yeah, gotcha, yeah. Well, so that's an arty in itself, isn't it?
Yeah,
a journey in itself.
It was. And, you know, Uncle Dijon's grandmother's tongue, the name comes from his grandmother's language.
Powerful.
And so we were very fortunate enough to be able to use that name for the title of the show. It's also about our individual journeys we take in life from our childhood right into adult life. And, you know, the things we experience along the way.
Good and bad, eh?
Absolutely. I think the show will take you on a journey through some, you know, some moments of trauma. And we have some real hard sort of themes that we explored, difficult themes. And it was really sort of... we had to navigate the space when we're exploring and creating the show, and you know, treat everyone with respect and care, because we were exploring difficult things. And so, but the idea of this journey is that we come out the other side.
Yes,
and that's the resilience, you know, and it's culture that pulls us through. So we start with we start on New South Wales doing cultural dance. And then we go into all these contemporary sections. We see a moment where Aboriginal people start to fight back and they start to process and they wake up to the injustices that are happening. And then we change the script and we flip it. And so we regain power and control and you know, destiny of our own lives. And so that's a strong message, you know, that I wanted to pass on to these young fellas.
Exactly. Well, the old phrase is not what happens to you in life, is how you respond to it.
Yeah.
And we need to respond, you know. Like the old saying, if it don't kill you, it makes you stronger. But it's just a...
That's right.
Yeah. It's just right. It makes up who we are.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's an important message to share with the wider public as well, you know, and the arts community abroad. I mean, in Sydney... because it's only going to be in Sydney.
Yeah, exactly.
Wish we could tour it.
That'd be deadly, yeah. And so, and hats off to NASDA Dance College. Like I said, dance a platform for career pathways for young First Nation dancers, but it's also an educational tool. It's a vehicle that you use to tell stories, but also talk about our existence as First Nation people. It's powerful art, isn't it?
Yeah, well, NASDA Dance College... it grew out of the 1972 Kent Embassy protests.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
And Aboriginal people at the time were protesting inequality. I mean, we're still protesting inequality, but, you know, it was quite a turning point in the 70s where Aboriginal voices started to get louder and drum up a lot of interest from around the country. And a lot of people travelled to Canberra, where the 10th Embassy protests were happening, and supported the movement. And NASDA, a lot of young people at the time became the first students of NASDA. It was formed out of that. It was a group that actually performed there, and it got noticed by people, you know, at the protest. And then a big art board meeting happened, and then a course developed out of it. And so since then, you know, it just... built interest and grew over the years. So the message, you know, hasn't changed. You know, we're still using dance as an art form to tell our stories and to protest and get, you know, and to enact change.
Brother, I'm just thinking of some of the names that come to my mind, you know, when you're talking about Malcolm Cole, Sylvia Blanco, Of course, yes. The Page brothers, you know, and Monica, Stevens. Yes, you know, and then you think of Marilyn Miller, and you know, it's powerful. Dijon Newey, you mentioned earlier, and using his grandmother's tongue there, it's a beautiful platform. Exactly, Raymond Blanco, and it's powerful, brother, and families or. You know, follow suit, if not get inspired to live their life, even if they want to become a doctor, you know. Death was the motivation for them to live their deadly life.
Yes, it also formed a really strong cultural base for a lot of people as well, because, you know, people were removed as children from families and, you know, displaced and dispossessed of culture and, you know... It was a real cultural foundation for their careers, whatever they went on to be, you know, whether that was a dancer or a choreographer, or if they did in fact go into medicine or whatever, it empowered them to have strong, you know, connections with language, song, dance, you know, all of those things that are associated with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander culture.
Exactly.
So, that's what NAISD is all about.
Mm. Now, confirming the NAISD and Courage Works presenter, Artie. Artie's only performing in Sydney, you were saying. It's sad it's not going on tour.
No. It's only being performed in Sydney for over 2 days.
No, now more about, ask more about the flight and air. Watch it.
I know.
Shut up.
Well, it's in July. So there's a bit of time.
Thank you for saving that bucks and go down. Yeah, that's right. Via Mariba.
If anybody can afford to come down and have a little support, that'd be deadly.
Yeah, and that's reckoning of truth, place, and belonging. And like you said, the journey, which is Artie, the meaning of Artie, journey, thanks to Uncle Dijon Newey's grandmother, her tongue, you know. And we are all on a journey, are we not? Dion?
We absolutely are, you know, and I think it's about, you know, I don't think we get bogged down in all the bad things. It's about being resilient and looking at the bright, you know, the positives in life and celebrating your successes and supporting each other and building community, all those things.
Yes.
The messages are strong in this.
Good. So how many performing on stage at one time for this?
We've got quite a big group this year, and I'm very inclusive. I work with everybody.
Good.
There's about 30 young students
Beautiful. Yes.
And so they're all on board. It's very busy, but there's some quite beautiful moments within the work.
Yeah. Good. So you choreographed the performance?
I choreographed a big chunk of it. The way I kind of operate is I work with people, you know, and their abilities, and what works well on their bodies, and, you know, whether they suggest ideas, we go with that. So it's a very, very collaborative process. And there's another choreographer that I've Sean Burns, who choreographed the urban section within the protest scene, and then obviously Stu McMinn, who is a cultural New South Wales cultural man, Darug cultural fellow. He's come in to teach and perform the cultural section at the top of the show, and then we've got Uncle Dijon Newey, you know, finishing with Moa Island, songs and dances at the end.
A team effort.
Yeah, it very much is.
Well, thank you very much for sharing. And look, congratulations and good luck with it all. Artie, a dance reckoning of truth, place and belonging. And also want to give love out and acknowledgement of Dijon Newey, Uncle New Dijon's grandmother's tongue. And fantastic how NAISD gets involved with community and permission to do so. Fantastic.